I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Awed by the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today, we are talking about Downton Abbey, Season 3, Episode 5. It's been a minute, but we're back.
It has.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, we have been very busy, as you heard in the toppings. And today I even had some major news of my own. I adopted a little black kitty from Salem today. So Emily has yet to meet her in the background of this video. She's just hanging out with Danny in the living room, but maybe she'll pop up here on the couch, here on my bed here. She's very cute, and she's been very, you know, quiet and not even skittish at all. She's just been enjoying us today, so that's a really good start.
Have you got to hear her meow yet? I love when cats meow. I love when they're very vocal.
She is actually not very vocal, but I have heard her meow when she wants to be pet, and it's a very soft meow. It's like a like that.
Aww, so, cute.
Yeah, it's really cute. And sometimes she just, like, she sees you coming and she'll just open up her mouth and not say anything. Just go.
It's really cute. I'm very excited to meet her eventually when I come visit. Probably next year, I think.
Yes.
Is the time.
Well, her name is Luna. And she came with the name and it just fits her because she's got these big green eyes. And she's black cat from Salem. So it's perfect.
Very cute.
Yeah. Very so it, cute. It'll go along. That's the only good news that we have today. The Downton is a serious downer. It's a downer Abbey today.
Oh my gosh. The most downer Abbey. Oh my gosh.
So I guess we'll just,
Let's get going. Let's get started.
Okay, so we open up with a shot of Highclere Castle, which is Downton Abbey. Nighttime.
It is nighttime. Yes.
Yeah. The doctor is here, Dr. Clarkson, and he is checking up on Sybil, who seems to be in labor.
Or very close to being in labor. It just seems like a routine check, but she's very preggers. And they're just like, she's doing great. Nothing's happening yet. Soon, but not yet.
Right. It's kind of like those Braxton Hicks contractions that just happen a little bit earlier than they're about to give birth. But everybody is like, had been woken up, apparently. It's like a false alarm, and they've just got a lot of nerves and things about this baby, especially Branson. And then Robert says to the doctor that he wants to bring another doctor, which I think we've met before, at some point. He was like in like one of the episodes. It's just a random person.
Yeah, I think he talks about it more with Cora in like a minute. But yes, I don't think he mentions the doctor just yet. But yes, now we are downstairs. In the kitchen, Everyone looks like they're in, so it looks like maybe a couple more hours had passed. Everyone went back to sleep, and now it's the morning. Everyone is downstairs eating their breakfast, I guess.
And the new maid, Ivy, just says something like, oh, I think it would be nice to have a baby here or something like that. Or like, you know, that would be good. And they're just kind of all discussing the different aspects of what it would be like to have a baby in Downton. And then something about Jimmy, the new guy, he says something like...
What does he say? It was such a weird back and forth. I didn't quite...
Let me just play it, because I want to make sure that we just get all little aspects, because there's just so many little things going on in this scene. So I'll just play it.
Got all the modern inventions.
Far away from everyone you know and trust.
I don't think I would. What are you talking about having babies for, Ivy? I think we can leave that for a little further down the menu, thank you.
It's always an idea to be prepared.
She said she'd rather have a baby.
I expect
in the city.
You're always prepared. Try to be, Mr. Barrow.
I don't like the direction this conversation is taking. Could we all begin the day's tasks, please? And remember, Lady Sybil is in a delicate condition, so no noise on the gallery.
Okay, so everybody's just, you know, excited about this baby. Ivy says she's excited, and then Daisy totally snaps at her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's like, it doesn't matter to you. Like, why do you care?
I know.
Daisy.
Jesus.
Can you not, please?
She's just jealous because we know that she really likes Alfred. So.
And Alfred already took a liking to Ivy because she's fresh meat, basically.
Exactly.
And Alfred will flirt with anything.
Oh yeah, that's so true. He's like a tall, handsome young man, so he's gonna flirt with anybody.
Yes.
Then we've got Cora and Robert in their room, and I just want to play it for the reasons why Robert wants to invite this other doctor.
We can't risk her welfare to soothe Clarkson's feelings.
I know.
I like the old boy, but he did misdiagnose Matthew, and he did miss the warning signs with Lavinia.
Thank you, O'Brien. Is that fair? He didn't want to get Matthew's hopes up when it wouldn't make any difference. And with Lavinia, the disease could move like lightning.
I know. But even so...
Sir Philip Tapsell may have delivered many lords and royal highnesses, but he doesn't know us.
I'll ask him to include Clarkson in his deliberations. Will that satisfy you?
I suppose so.
Okay.
So, this pissed me off.
Yeah. I mean,
Robert,
obviously...
Robert, who is not a doctor and has no right to say anything medical-related, says that he doesn't trust Dr. Clarkson's diagnoses anymore because he technically misdiagnosed Matthew, which no one could have foreseen.
That is such a specific situation because he didn't want to get his hopes up. He didn't know if the swelling was going to go down. Like, what was he supposed to say?
Yeah, and that he wasn't able to stop the disease from killing Lavinia when, again, it seems like it's a very sporadic virus that takes people very quickly, and the whole family knew this. So it's just like, it's like a 50-50 shot of whether you live or you die. Like,
literally, this is just for the plot. This is just to make us, to get this argument going in the future of this episode. So,
and I said, I'm gonna save this, but I say that later for another reason. And
okay.
I will say it.
Okay.
I firmly believe that this show just makes shit up for just the point of the plot. Like,
well, every show does, but it's a bit more contrived. It definitely feels contrived a lot. And this is definitely one of those moments.
Yes. So Miss O'Brien of earlier had kind of seen a little back and forth between Jimmy and Thomas, and so she's devising something.
Trying to get Thomas to engage with Jimmy. So he's like, Jimmy's like, I need to wind the clocks, and do you know if there's anybody who can help me with that? And obviously O'Brien's like, well, you should ask Thomas because he really, really would be willing to help you. And of course Thomas is, because Jimmy is a very attractive man and Thomas has like a crush on him. So she wants to get back at Thomas by probably making Thomas and Jimmy closer together in some way.
Yeah, and in a way, maybe making Thomas think something that isn't there by, like, forcing Jimmy to hang out with Thomas. Because she's like,
yeah,
she's like, oh, he's a valet for the Lord. So if you're nice to him, he'll probably say nice things about you to the Lord. So she's basically mm-hmm. saying, like, you should get on Thomas's good side.
Definitely. Definitely. Then we've got Sybil and Mary. Sybil says something like, my ankles are really swollen and my back really hurts. And that's not, you know, good. She doesn't feel very good. And she says her head really hurts. It's just like, that's
yeah,
not.
The head is definitely worrisome. Because, yeah, I mean the ankle swelling seems very... I mean, she's laying down. She shouldn't continuously have swollen ankles if she's been propping them up. So that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of aspects of childbirth that are a little alarming.
I would know. My sister was just pregnant.
Uh-huh, that's true. But we also remember we watched that movie, which was really depressing as well. The Pieces of a Woman. And I think about that, like, beginning sentence a lot, you know, the beginning scene of that movie. And it just definitely is, like, traumatizing just even thinking about that situation and how she also wasn't kind of, like, in her right mind, like, the way Sybil gets soon.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, that's not good. Like, this is really not a good situation if the mom isn't very lucid, you know.
For sure. For sure.
But now Sybil's just talking to Mary about the fact that she is worried about christening the baby and inside Downton. She's like, I don't really mind to do that. We were supposed to do it in Dublin. And she's just kind of ruminating about the differences between her and Tom, and what they both want is slightly different than each other. And we'll get a little bit more about that in the future. But it's just kind of another plot to have. I feel like it's just something for Sybil to have to, like, worry about as well.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, odd because it doesn't really fit in so much with everything else. It's just like, well, give Sybil something else to talk about other than the fact that she's really uncomfortable right now.
And that she's giving everything up basically to be with Branson. Like, it's always the same. In a way, the same things that... It just seems that she has the same thing to say every time we kind of see her. Like, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, yeah. I love Branson.
I'll do whatever my husband wants.
I'll do whatever
Then
wants.
We just saw that scene with Thomas and Jimmy, and Thomas is getting really close to Jimmy, fixing up the clock, talking about the clock like a living person, and saying his father's a clockmaker, so... He knows about clocks a lot, and he has his hand on Jimmy's shoulder, and he's like right up on him, and it's a little bit uncomfortable.
It's very like first date, like, here, let me show you how to do this. Like, oh, we're playing skee ball. Let me hold your hand.
Hold
your hand in my hand while I show you how to play skee ball.
I was gonna say like mini golf
or darts. I don't know.
Yeah. Hold the dart in the hand and throw it. Yeah.
Yeah.
For basically, sure. For
very
sure.
close. Like, Thomas is like whispering like in his ear. Like, he's like really close to Jimmy. I think he just says like he was just telling him how to wind the clock. It was a cute exchange.
Jimmy just was kind of noticing that he was getting a little close to him. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, he was. He was. But now we're back with Mr. Bates and Anna. There's
one line that Anna says. She's like, why did they keep me from you for so long? And he goes, whatever the reason, it's over. Like, he doesn't even get into it. Like, that's the last episode's issue. Why don't you go watch that? And you'll find out.
I know, that's in the past. We need to move forward now, Anna. Stop asking questions that don't matter anymore. So they were now able to meet because they had been keeping them separate. They were like... hoarding their letters from them. They like wouldn't send their letters out to each other, so now this is their first get together since last episode's ordeal.
And I think I should play this because he's going to explain some evidence, and yes. I know you're gonna have questions about it, so we might as well just play it. Yeah, oh. You
That seemed really straightforward to me. I was like, okay.
I'm gonna play it.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Whatever the reason it's over, the point is someone has to question Mrs. Bartlett. You wrote and said she saw Vera on the evening of the day of her death.
That's right. She went for a walk. The door was open and she went in.
And she saw Vera scrubbing pastry from under her nails.
I wrote that because it was such a strange detail for her to remember.
She was making the pie that she ate that night when I was on the train back to Downton.
So Vera planned this. She meant for you to be imprisoned.
Yeah, no shit.
She meant for you to be hanged for her suicide. It was her revenge.
Yes.
Her revenge.
She was a real petty bitch.
To both of us.
The pettiest.
They'll say you poisoned the milk or the flour or something to catch her after you'd gone.
They tested everything in the kitchen. They said it was in the pastry where I couldn't have put it.
The flour was in the pastry, wasn't it?
Oh, I hope she's burning.
Yeah. But
don't go down that road.
But all of the flour. So did they test the bag, the whatever box or bag of flour as well, and that had nothing in it? It was just the flour that was used for the pastry.
I think they just tested the pastry. I don't know. Whatever. It explained it. I mean, it definitely is very clear that Vera planned her own death and framed Bates for it. So
I'm surprised that even during this time they were able to figure that much out. Like, they tested everything right. in the kitchen for poison, and only the pastry dough had poison in it.
Like they were
so thorough. Why didn't they figure this out before Bates got sent to jail?
It just seemed so clear that, but this other woman knows some information, so that's what's it'll help.
Yes, just, but also, if they found it just in the pastry dough, why would they need Miss Bartlett then? Like, if they tested everything in the kitchen and it was just in the pastry dough that Mr. Bates was nowhere near, mm-hmm. why would they need Mrs. Bartlett to attest to this?
I don't know, whatever. I will find out. They're probably going to do some kind of trial or inquiry or something of hers. So we'll get to it.
Okay,
then this is really quick. Isabel is telling Ethel, because I thought we'd seen the last of Ethel. We had not. Bitch, you thought you'd seen
apparently
the last of me.
Apparently not, also. No. You lied to me.
I didn't remember. And as you can imagine, the main plot point of this episode is not the fact that Ethel comes back, okay?
No, it's not. It's a very small portion of this. So Isabel's being very nice and offering Ethel a job at her estate, or like the place that she's staying, whatever.
Honestly, just because she feels bad for her. Like,
honestly, because she feels bad.
It's the only reason. Like, Ethel has no skills. And it's just like,
Ethel was just like a lady's maid, right? Or was she just like a regular maid? Like, what did she do? Did she just like,
she was a lady's maid, I think.
Put stuff away. Like, did she dress any of the daughters?
She was Anna's roommate, so maybe, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah, but Isabel gives her a job. She's like, you can work with Mrs. Burp.
Which we know how well that's going to go.
I know. I'm like, did you think about that?
Because Miss Bird just talked about how much she hated Ethel in the previous episode. So this is going to go swimmingly, Isabel. You're not making a terrible decision at all. I'm speaking so sarcastically, it hurts.
Okay. So then we've got the guy who was kicked out of Bates's room, and then the scummy cop,
who seems to be like his goon or something. Like, I don't know why they're so obsessed with Mr. Bates, but they're just like, he spoke with his wife. I wonder what that was about. Like, well, she can't be pregnant because he's been in jail since they've been married.
Yeah.
And they're just like gossiping, and they're just like, oh, what's he so happy about? We better put an end to this. Like, he's too happy. And I'm like, why do you care?
They just hate him. I mean, he has like the most punchable face, though. So, like,
they both do.
Yeah, 100%. Like all these men that they cast,
he's like, where did you see where he kept his letters? I'll go into his room and steal them. I'm just like, dude, go find someone else to pick on,
There's nothing else to do in jail but start shit.
No. Other than make the inmates feel like crap.
Yeah. So then we have Matthew and Mary walking on the estate. Apparently it's a farm that this really old man, Coulter, used to live at, but he hasn't been able to farm it because he's too old. So basically, yes. I think the whole situation is that the estate needs to be managed, like this farm needs to be actually in use, and nobody is using it, and he feels like it needs to be worked, and that needs to be somebody who can work the land. So this Coulter guy apparently is not, they're just wasting their money on him. Like, they're giving him a salary of somebody who works the land, and he does not. So it's like, all right, well, then maybe we should get somebody in here who can actually make a difference and make this a working farm, which, you know, that's a big deal. You should definitely have that, you know?
Yeah. And Matthew makes like a slight comment about like Robert maybe not knowing how to run the estate properly or something. Like, he kind of says something.
Yeah. Like, he says that he's thinking about
Robert equates being a business, being a businessman to being mean or something. I don't know. Exactly. So maybe he just doesn't make the decisions that are best for Downton.
Yeah.
But also, I just remembered. That's
very true. What?
In the last episode, didn't we find out that someone was mismanaging the estate?
Yes.
That just was not brought up. Was that why Matthew wanted to talk to the lawyer at the end?
This is the thing. This is what is being mismanaged, is this whole estate thing. This whole farm situation.
These little, like, cottages and farms and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
That is the thing. So it turned out to be not that fun, to be honest. I thought it was going to be a little bit more, you know.
I thought it was going to be a little bit more like, oh, this guy was behind it. Like, I don't know. So, like, some big conspiracy or some big scandal. Like, It's very boring.
It's boring.
But now we're at dinner. This other doctor has arrived. He only knows how. He's basically like a male midwife. He's like a mid-husband.
I mean, he's a doctor who delivers babies specifically. So I think he's just a gynecologist or, you know, whatever.
Okay. He's just a doctor that specializes in childbirth. Okay.
Yeah, and he specializes in childbirth with, like, really famous people, like royals and highborns and stuff. Which is just, it's just wild that this man who's birthed so many babies doesn't see the signs of preeclampsia. Like, these are textbook signs and he just doesn't even acknowledge them. And it's like, dude, what the fuck?
Yes.
Oh, it's so
Kimmy made some
stupid.
Fun comments during this episode. So once the thing happens, I'll go into more of what she said. But yeah, so we're all at dinner.
Yeah,
we're kind of just waiting for Sybil to give birth. Basically, I guess that's why they invited this guy over.
Uh huh. Because it's supposed to be soon. Like, she's supposed to be going into labor soon, and they're just like, we need to invite Dr. Clarkson. It would be best for everybody. This is actually the day before, because this is not where they're being interrupted. That's the next time. So this is, like, I think the end of the day, and then the next day we still have more. And then Matthew talks to Sir Philip, this doctor, about
since he has a moment alone with him.
Yeah, he's concerned about his penis. Yeah, and his fertility.
Yes.
If these little swimmers are going to be able to get there, you know?
Yeah, to get to where they need to be, to cross the finish line.
And he's like, well, if you haven't seen any, like, if everything's in working order, it should be fine. And he's like, okay, you know? And he's like, you've only been trying a few months. Keep trying. Which, it's not the worst advice. It definitely is, like, okay, sure. That's generally what they tell people, is, like, you try for, like, 6 months. And if that's
Is this still too soon in history to where, like, if all the, like, fertility checks could have been happening if a couple was having issues having children? Like, was this even an option back at this time? Like, checking sperm count and checking
I think so, because like they have microscopes. So it is definitely possible to take a sperm sample and see how many of them are moving around in there, and how, you know, it's like, that's what a microscope does. So I think that that's definitely possible to see. I don't know exactly what the, like, scientific way of doing that is, but
yeah,
you know, but I would think he does say.
But the doctor's official diagnosis was Matthew's anxious. And if he just stops being anxious, everything will be just fine. Wow.
Okay,
thanks,
dude,
for that.
He goes, just stop being anxious.
Input, doctor. I can tell that someone who doesn't know anything about the medical field wrote that line. Wrote this exchange. It's great.
Yeah, that's just, that's ridiculous.
Also, so Anna comes back.
Yeah, Anna's back, and she's telling Robert about the fact that Mr. Bates was framed by his own wife, and
yes, the new evidence.
Yeah, and the fact that there's the new evidence, and that she would like to talk to the lawyer. And so he's like, "Okay, we'll get Murray here so that she can take your what you have to say about it." And so he's gonna come. And it's good. It's definitely good that we're getting the ball rolling for this Mr. Bates getting out of prison thing. And then
for
Edith,
sure.
Edith gets a letter at breakfast. And I think I'll play a little bit of the end of this, because I think it's worth playing for Edith.
What about
okay.
it?
Once a week, and I can write about whatever I like. It would be the problems faced by a modern woman rather than the fall of the Ottoman Empire, but even so.
But will you write under your own name?
I hadn't thought.
You won't have an option. That's what he's buying. That's what he wants. Your name and your title.
I don't know. I thought Edith's letter to the Times was very interesting.
Don't bother, Matthew. I'm always a failure in this family.
Yeah, she's fucking right. Like, they don't think of her as, like, an equal. You know?
They don't. I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as, like, for them to think that she's a failure, like a nuisance or anything, because,
right.
like, she's obviously trying. They're just not very supportive. Like, they're
no,
not.
They
like,
really aren't, you know?
They're
it's
not
like,
supportive.
Everything Edith's tried to do has been met with derision.
Yeah, even when she wrote the letter to the Times in the first place, he's like, well, it's not going to get printed. And then it gets printed, and he's like, well, that's just beginner's luck. Like, it's just, it's...
So
I'm really pissed at Robert lately. I hope it shows.
This episode?
I hope
it
shows.
I mean, Robert is such a problematic character.
Oh my gosh.
That's an understatement.
such an understatement.
So, okay. Then we've
back
got...
Back at Isabel's.
Yes.
At Isabel's place. She's talking to Miss Bird. And what do you know? Miss Bird, is it Mrs.? I don't know. Mrs. Bird? She's not happy that Ethel's going to be working with her.
My cat has joined us. Hello,
oh?
Sweetie. She's checking out my closet right now. Continue.
Oh. but basically, like, and whatever Mrs. Bird has to say doesn't make any sense. She's like, well, if people know that I'm working alongside someone who used to be a prostitute, they'll think that I'm okay with people being prostitutes or something. I don't know.
I know.
It's like,
I'm not going to tarnish my good name. It's all I have. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway.
And Isabel pulls, like, the bitchiest move and is like, okay, well, where will you go? And then Mrs. Bird's like, oh, I guess, you know, didn't think you were going to say that, but I guess I'm going to go back and stay with my sister. And Isabel's like, all right. Have fun. Talk to you later.
She's like, goodbye. Good luck. Mrs. Bird's like, what? Like, she didn't expect her. She was like, so basically,
to just drop her.
Ethel or me, and she chose Ethel. And it doesn't make any sense because Mrs. Bird is a good cook and she manages the house just fine and she's been good.
Yes.
To
Isabel. I understand Isabel, like, felt bad for Ethel, but why couldn't Ethel just be, like, a housemaid or something? Or, like, so was Mrs. Bird doing everything? Cooking, cleaning? Like,
yeah.
What was Mosley doing?
I mean,
he just dressing.
Dressing just, and
dressing Matthew. Yeah.
Cleaning things probably as well.
I think I did see him help clean something in a previous episode.
Yeah, but like, he was cleaning and he wasn't cooking. He was just helping Matthew dress and then also helping Mrs. Bird with stuff. And yeah,
so, I don't know. Or Isabel could just use her connections to get Ethel a job somewhere. Like, why?
Totally.
Like, why did Isabel have to take her on?
It's contrived. Maybe because they paid the actress for the entire season and they were like, we got to figure out something for her to do.
Okay, well then that's just sloppy casting and writing at the same time.
Yeah.
We're back in the kitchen. Ivy is talking to both Jimmy and Alfred. I think they're just talking about how much Daisy hates Ivy.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know why she hates me. She just hates me.
She's just hated me ever since I came here.
And she's Alfred's pretty like, and taller.
Yeah. And Alfred's like, well, we don't know what she's missing, being mad at someone as beautiful as you. But then she kind of makes a hint that she's interested in Jimmy. And so Alfred's getting a little like,
yeah,
competition.
A little bit of a love triangle downstairs right now.
A little bit of a Kimmy said a love square.
Oh, it's a love square, including Thomas. There's a lot going on down there.
Well, then we need to add an extra side for Daisy, even though she has, or she has no foot in this running, but she's
love Pentagon because she does like. She is in there. So then everybody's got. So she's, I guess, the whole day has gone by because now it's time for dinner again because they're all in their evening clothes.
Yes.
They're talking to Branson about how sad he is about not being able to go to Dublin, but he's just very nervous about his wife. Granny's yeah.
he's
there.
Like, he's like, at this point, I don't care. As long as she comes out of this alive.
Oh, no. I mean, I just was dreading this episode. Like, I knew
it was coming. Did you know
that
this was the episode? You knew this was the episode?
Oh, yeah. I knew it. No. I knew it. And I
had
like,
no idea.
Like
I mean, I called it. I'll try to figure out where I had called it, but I was like, either Sybil's dying or this baby is dying. Like, that is, I knew it was happening. And for like the first like 30 minutes of this episode, like no music plays, unless I couldn't hear anything. But
yeah, I mean, it plays. It's just not as like
not much. There were a lot of silent parts.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot more straightforward this episode, which I definitely enjoyed that aspect of it. I don't like it when it's overly dramatic, and I think that this whole doctor fight thing and the drama with it is honestly,
oh my gosh, good.
What?
I hate the whole doctor fighting part. I just it's
oh terrible. I mean, it kills Sybil. So sorry, yeah. Spoilers, but you know,
spoilers.
It kills
yeah,
Sybil.
Basically.
So then basically that scene we just watched, I mean, it just was them explaining that the Dr. Clarkson is going to come up and Cora really wants him there because Dr. Clarkson knows the girls. He's been with them their whole lives. He knows their bodies, you know, so it definitely is like good to have the family doctor there, and for some reason Robert's like, we don't need him, we don't need, you know, and it's like, what?
Yeah, both Robert, like, and Philip are both like, that's not necessary. And she's like, I told him I was going to tell him, so I'm going to tell him, so fuck off, Robert. Like, that's basically what she's trying to say to him.
It's so fucked up. It like makes no sense why they wouldn't want to have Dr. Clarkson there anyway. Then we're back downstairs and we've got the Ivy, like, this is Hollandaise that's been, I guess, on a bain-marie there.
On a double boiler.
Double boiler, yeah, exactly. And so, like, apparently Alfred knows this trick where if you take it off real fast, it curdles. And then if you mix in an egg, it will fix it. So Daisy walks away and she comes back and it's curdled. And she's like, no, damn it, I gotta remake it. And she had just told Ivy to do like 10 things. And then Alfred's like, it's fine, I got it. And he puts the egg in there. It's a trick of the trade. And Mrs. Patmore sees him doing this and she's like, well, okay. And then Ivy kind of saves the day for
Well, Alfred makes it seem like Ivy saved it because Alfred's trying to get Daisy off of Ivy's back because he likes her and he needs to get a one up over Jimmy. So, so that's why he's helping her out. It's really cool that Alfred knows this trick, even though he could have ruined dinner. But
definitely. Wouldn't that make the hollandaise just like really eggy? Like, I don't understand. I mean, how does that?
I don't think that's how that would have worked out. But whatever. Apparently, in Downton world, it's fixed now. And so Miss Patmore is like, why don't you thank her, Daisy? And Daisy's like, okay, thanks. And Miss Patmore's like, oh, well, that wasn't so hard, was it?
Yeah, she's like, you know, Alfred would like you more if you were nicer to Ivy.
Yeah!
You're such a bitch to her. Like, he's not gonna like you because you're being mean.
I love Mrs. Patmore now that she's gotten her eyes fixed. She just was... unbearable.
She was too much for that one episode. That was ridiculous.
Unbearable that first season. I'm so glad that, like, I feel better about her now. But she's really funny, and she tells Daisy stop being a bitch. So, you know, it's really nice.
Come here, Luna. Oh, she's coming towards me. Did you hear her little meow?
No, I didn't.
There she is. Oh, she's purring.
Hi, sweetie. Oh, I heard a little noise. Oh.
She's purring, you hear her? Oh, she wants to get down.
Okay, buddy.
She's cute, huh? She doesn't like it when I pick her
she's
up.
So she's so cute.
She's not into that. Like, she really is like, what are you doing? Stop picking me
up. Is she still young? Could you get her used to being held?
Yeah, she's a year old. Okay. So I think she'll get used to us and... I'm going to cuddle with her and pick her up every day, you know, so maybe she'll get used to it. Dude kind of got used to it. He was like, he doesn't love it, but, you know, he kind of just handles it now, so.
Well, and you guys have had him since he was a kitten, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think he likes being picked up.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he's kind of complacent about it, but he doesn't like it, so.
Yeah, for sure.
But you guys got to hear him a kitty.
So cute. Luna,
yeah.
So we're back at dinner again. They're really just waiting. Is this the dinner? Is this dinner what happens?
This is the dinner. Basically, Matthew brought up the whole Edith thing again, and they just kind of made a joke about
it. Violet didn't know about it. So yeah. Violet needed to be in the loop about this.
She was like, oh, next thing you'll be on the stage. And she's like, see, nobody cares about me.
See, everyone doesn't support me. Everyone sucks.
Yeah, so but dinner's been suspended. Yep, it's
nurse
paused.
Came in is like it's time, and yes, dinner is on pause. And Miss Petmore was like, "What the fuck?"
She knew that this would possibly happen. So
yeah, I know they'll deal.
So then, okay. Do you want me to play this?
Can you just play the stupid conversation that they have?
Yeah,
I'm so mad. It was bad.
Okay.
I'm so mad.
What do you mean concerned?
Lady Sybil's ankles are swollen. And she seems muddled.
What sort of muddled?
Not quite there. Not quite in the present moment.
And what do you think it means?
It means she's having a baby.
Oh, shut the fuck up, dude.
Not a word, Dr. Clarkson. Excuse me.
Sir Philip mustn't bully him into silence.
My dear, this is just Clarkson's professional pride. Like barbers asking who last cut your hair. They always want to be better than any other practitioner.
But we must listen to what he has to say.
I quite agree.
I don't want to hurt Sir Philip's feelings.
If there's one thing that I'm quite indifferent to, it's Sir Philip Tapsell's feelings.
You are upsetting these people for no reason at all.
I am not. I think she may be toxemic with the danger of eclampsia, in which case we must act fast.
There is no danger whatsoever. Judging by my experience, Lady Sybil is behaving perfectly normally.
Do you not find the baby small?
Not unusually so.
And the ankles?
Maybe she has thick ankles. Lots of women do.
But she does not.
I warn you, Doctor. If you wish to remain, you must be silent. I can't.
Maybe she has thick ankles?
First of all, fuck you. Second of all,
trust Dr. Clarkson. Dr. Clarkson knows her. Like, why? Dr. Clarkson has looked at her ankles her whole life. It was really risque, okay?
And what Robert had to say, like, oh, they're just two professionals competing for the top. Like, I'm like, what? You have a person and a baby who could possibly be in danger here. Why would they be quarreling over something as stupid as this? Like, I'm so mad at Robert. Like,
it's his fault. Stand him. It's 100% his fault that his daughter dies. Like, I mean, yeah, it's
completely his fault. It is his fault.
Yes, and he knows it, and he kind of admits it in the end too. He does. So Ethel is struggle bussing. She decided to make a kidney pie. She burns herself. She stands up and gets the thing out. And Isabel's like, why'd you try to make a kidney pie? That's like a difficult dish. Like a kidney souffle.
Couldn't you have started with like mac and cheese or like cereal? Like why did you start with the hardest thing, which is a kidney souffle? And it looks
terrible. And she's like,
should I just try something else? And Isabel's like, no, because at this point we'll be eating past midnight. So let's just call it a day.
You know what? You know what would have been easy to make is pasta. But you know what? Yeah. They didn't eat pasta because it's just not how it worked. You know, they ate like what they ate. They ate like the same foods all the time. It's like, where the fuck are you supposed to get pasta? You know? But that takes like 2 minutes to make.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, okay. I don't know. I don't remember what that little downstairs conversation was, but Mr. Mosley is confronting Mr. Carson about this. Mrs. Bird has sent him a letter just outlining everything going on with Mrs. Bird leaving and Ethel coming in. Then we get this shot of Ethel or of Sybil, who is sitting with Branson, and she looks horrible. I mean, when women give birth, they definitely look really bad, but she looks like so bad. I mean, her hair is
sweaty. Her face is red. Like, oh my gosh.
She's in so much pain and she cannot speak right. She's like, I'll lie back and look at the stars. And she like, it's like there's something wrong.
She starts to go delirious.
Yes, like, exactly.
Like, and that's not good.
Yeah.
And Dr. Clarkson comes in and says he wants to test a sample of her urine so that they can check for the eclampsia.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Phillip is like, how dare you? And this is where Sybil starts to lose it. She's like, am I on duty? I'm sorry. I should go get ready for duty. And he's like, you're not on duty. Like, she's like, this is not good. It's not good.
Dude, it honestly is not normal to not be lucid. I mean, you could be tired, but you know where you are. You know, your brain's not, like, swelling when you're giving birth. So it's not good. Like, you really need to be, like, aware of what's going on and not so, like, I mean, I can understand if you're just really tired, but this is, like, a totally different situation. She's, like, totally out of it. So it's definitely not good. And Mr. Carson is just confronting Mrs. Hughes and Mr. Mosley, just talking to them about this letter. And basically, Carson's like, she had a right to leave, obviously. And then Mrs. Hughes is kind of defending Isabel, saying, like, this is Ethel. Like, she used to be a prostitute. She's changing. Like, she doesn't want to be one anymore. So why do we need to criticize her? And
yeah, of course, Carson used to work for us, and other than having a mouth on her, like, she was never a bad person. Yeah. Like, so there's no reason to, like, let's give Ethel a shot, basically. Mrs. Hughes is like, let's give her a shot and see how she goes. I mean, if she's terrible, then Isabel will probably do the right thing and fire her.
Right. It'll probably figure itself out. That's what she says, so.
So they're keeping it secret, which I still think is a stupid idea. But I also think that Isabel made a terrible mistake in hiring Ethel.
Oh, yeah.
Purely for the fact to give her a kitchen role. If she'd give her just any other small role, like, that would have been fine. But the fact that
managing a house is a lot of work, and she has to do it by herself. Like, at least Isabel should hire somebody else.
Yeah, like, she shouldn't have told Mrs. Burr that they were going to be working closely together. Like, they should have just given them two separate jobs so they could have just not been around each other.
100%.
But whatever.
That's the matter settled. Like, we don't even discuss it for the rest of the episode, so.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Ethel for now. Not forever, but for now.
We'd seen the last of her, but.
So we're back in the library, basically, and the doctors are all,
they squabbling.
Fighting, basically, saying that, you know, he's talking medical stuff, and Robert goes, please, doctor, my mother's in the room.
Yeah.
It's a dumb line.
Says something about her uterus or something, and he's like, I don't need to know that.
Urine.
Yeah,
he was just talking about her urine, and Robert's like, please.
I know, every little thing that has to, like, Robert just hearing anything about, like, female bodies, he just completely is like, no, I don't want to hear about that. No! Like that, you know? And it's like,
That was a perfect impression of Robert. Like, that sounded just like him. Like, that was his voice. Oh my, Alessandra, that was amazing.
Wow, thanks.
Like, that was really good.
Your impression... You had a really good impression of somebody recently. And it was Daisy. You had a really good impression of Daisy. And I was like, that's it.
Did I?
Yeah, it was like a few episodes ago or something.
Oh my gosh.
So Dr. Clarkson is arguing that she should go and get a cesarean section at the local hospital. They should take her now, like in an ambulance, bring her to the hospital, give her a C-section. That's the only way that she could possibly live. And then the other doctor is like, I'm 100% sure that she's completely fine. There's no reason we should move her. If we move her now, she could die. And so Robert obviously sides with Sir Philip, and honestly, everybody else sides with Dr. Clarkson. Yet they still go with what Robert wants, which makes totally no sense, because everybody else in the room is women, and they're the ones who think that, and they're like, well, we have to see what Branson thinks. He's the father, and they don't even ask him. They literally,
and Robert
just
totally one-ups him and says, like, well, I'm the one paying for all these doctor's bills, basically, so it is my choice, and I, like, choose to kill my daughter.
What? Like, you're absolutely wrong. Like, you're the one who makes this choice.
They finally get Branson in.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're, like, trying to tell him, like, what's happening, and they're just like, we need to take her now. Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I should play this, but it's honestly so stressful. Like, I just don't want to even, like, relive this. It's honestly just them squabbling about how they think they can save her if they take her to the hospital. But Robert just is like, no, she's not going to go. She's safe. She's going to be just fine. It's like, you don't know shit about childbirth, dude. Like, you don't understand anything. Do you really think that she's okay? Because she's not. It's just, ugh. And obviously Cora is fighting for her to go. And she's like, I think it was right here
when Kimmy was like, I think Dr. Phillips says that eclampsia is very rare. And
right,
Kimmy,
which is not true.
And at this point, yeah, Kimmy says it is not rare. It is very common. Like,
yes.
This is something that can happen very easily in pregnancies. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you need to be, like, literally every doctor is so, like, aware of the signs of eclampsia, because it is definitely something that could possibly happen and has happened many times. And women can be saved by cesarean section when they have eclampsia. Obviously, you know, they could still die because it's a surgery, but it's still safer to do a C-section on somebody with eclampsia than it is to have a natural birth. So that's what he's saying. Obviously Robert chooses wrong. So we hear a screaming from Sybil. All the women run towards her. So something crazy's happening. Oh, here's Ethel. Right. Ethel brings Isabel some tea with way too much honey in it. And she's like, okay, how about we don't do that again?
Yeah, she drinks it. I'm like, hopefully Ethel can make a decent cup of tea. And she drinks it and she's like, Ethel, what is in this? She's like, oh, just some honey. She's like, okay. Well, maybe not next time.
I did like that line. She's like, pass that another time.
Oh my gosh.
So Grandmama's still there. She's just waiting for the news of the baby being born, and then she's going to go. So it's pretty late, I think, and she's
Yeah, she doesn't want to leave because she's just like, if I don't stay, I won't hear the news until too late. And I just want to... She wants to stick around.
The atmosphere is so tense. Yeah. Mary comes in. She's like, the baby's been born. They're both perfectly fine.
I remember the music starting at this point. Like, I was like, oh, cool. Like, it puts you in a false sense of security, basically.
100%. The music starts,
and they're like, the baby is born. Come see the darling daughter, the darling baby girl. And everything is grand.
And little did you know, but I knew.
I knew someone was dying. I was like, there is some funk in the air in this episode. Like, I felt it like,
oh yeah,
like earlier. I was like, someone's dying. Someone.
It's lit darkly. It's mostly at night. I mean, they don't have like any day at all in this whole entire episode. It's like
just
nighttime.
I'm already pissed off. So of course someone was gonna die. So I just like it's. I'm pretty sure I was equally as angry during the Lavinia death episode too. So it's just,
yeah, but I think that was a better episode. Like I don't know why I think that. It's just that one was a lot more exciting. Like this one is just,
yeah, I can agree with you. I can agree with you.
Like there's like the whole Mary and Matthew kiss and that whole
situation. We go back and listen. We both gave it like twos. Like it's
That's so true. Sybil's kind of still in her delirious state telling her mother, you know, about the fact that Branson's thinking about moving to Manchester to be a car engine.
A mechanic. Yeah, he wants to go back to working with cars. And she's like, no, you're better than that. We need to not backtrack. She's like, we can't go back now.
Yeah, I don't know why she is so concerned with this at this very moment. I think she's just really fixated on it because she's sick. Yeah. So it's just like something in her. And Cora's like, it's all good, you know, we'll talk about it later. And it's like, yeah, this is something that does not need to be solved immediately. How about you do this after you get some rest and then you guys can maybe discuss it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow never comes for Sybil.
Well, I mean, it's probably already tomorrow. It's probably super late where they are at this time. But everyone's starting to relax. We're back at dinner. We're downstairs. Everyone's just chilling, waiting for the news. And now everyone downstairs has heard that it's a girl.
Yeah, and Thomas keeps looking over at Jimmy. And it's just kind of keeps smiling. And
this part.
Do you want me to play?
You can. Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Good news. Do you like Lady Sybil?
I do. We worked together in the hospital during the war, so I know her better than all of them, really.
Okay.
She's a lovely person. Like you.
Oh, he grabs his arm. I'm kind of squeezing.
He touched me.
And then, obviously, O'Brien kind of saw what was going on there.
Anything the matter?
No. No. But Mr. Barrow's so familiar all the time, isn't he?
I'm glad to hear it. That's a very good sign. If he's tending to you, he'll definitely put in a good word with his lordship.
So I'd like to tell him to keep his distance.
Do you want to get your marching orders, then? Why, what are you implying? Nothing unseemly, I hope.
No.
You know it's unseemly.
No, nothing like that.
You know it is.
Good night.
She's so...
I know O'Brien's trying... She probably thinks it's harmless, just trying to, like, embarrass Thomas so he'll make a move on Jimmy, and Jimmy will be like, oh, I don't like you like that. And then Thomas will just be embarrassed. But you could also be
so
making
scummy.
Jimmy feel uncomfortable. Like,
oh,
by,
100%.
By setting up all these, like, false things. Like, it's... Like, that's not
it's
nice.
Scummy.
It's
not it's
nice,
mean.
O'Brien. It's very scummy. Like, it's very bitchy of O'Brien to do.
It's also, you know, again, we've said this before, but it's terrible of the writers to put the main plot point is, like, the fact that Thomas is gay and that he'll make a move on Jimmy so that he could get, like, embarrassed. Like, it's just, again, with, like, they already did
it's
that
just,
in the very
low.
First episode.
It's like,
low.
It's very
yeah,
low.
Like,
like, if anything, I would actually have really enjoyed Thomas having, like, a very nice, like healthy relationship with someone in this show. Like, Like, and dude, not we're only in this
in the third season. Like, we have so many more seasons to go. Like, what else is going to happen in this?
Oh my god! Don't remind me. Thomas is never going to have a healthy relationship. The writers will never do that to him.
Okay, okay, all right. The bad news has come. Okay, Sybil is actively dying. Everybody is getting out of their beds. They are seeing her there. She looks terrible. I mean, she's just laying there.
She's breathing seizures. So heavily. She's even more sweaty.
Oh.
She's just making these noises. Her head hurts. Like, she's just... All of these things are going. And it's just... This was hard to watch.
It's a very stressful scene. Everybody's just shocked. Like, Edith's just staring shocked. Like, Matthew's, like, hugging the pole of the bed in, like, a total, like, he can't even imagine what is going on right now. And it's just, Sybil has, like, a seizure. So she starts, like, leaning back and kind of
convulsing.
Yeah,
basically.
Convulsing. And her neck's, like, really tight and stuff. I think the actress does a really good job.
Yeah, you see, like, the veins popping out of her neck. Like, she did such a good... And the doctors are just standing back there just, like, watching this happen because none of them can do anything. And everyone's like, do something! Do something! And they can't. They're not doing anything.
I just don't think there's anything that they can do. Like,
this was such a horrible scene to watch. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, it's just... It's already overtaken her. It's too late. She's already, you know, feeling... the effects of the toxemia, and it's too late, which can happen very easily to the human body. Like, if you have, like, internal bleeding, it just fucks you up and you die. Like, that's it, you know? So everybody's just, like, staring, and Cora and Branson are the closest to her, so they're definitely like, you know, stay with me and everything, and you don't actually see her die, but Mary kind of steps back, and it's clear that she's died, and then they have another shot of her, and she's
and
totally
pale. And she immediately
pale.
Starts going
which is
pale.
Really, like, crazy, because she, like, that would not happen.
Which doesn't mean...
No,
that's
it
not
was
what
like
happened.
No, it was like they shot her, and then they put like all this makeup on her, and then she laid back there dead. And they're like, "Oh, she's dead."
Yeah, she immediately looked like she'd been dead for like a day.
Like, it was weird. It was like
that's not how she would look.
No, she would like, look. She would look the same. She would look red, and she would be laying there. You know, and it's just. It's strange, but I think that's the only way that they could have, like, presented it to the audience. Like, she's dead. Okay.
To make sure, to make sure the audience knew she was dead. She's like,
she looks ashy, you know? And then Robert's like, this can't be. She's 24 years old. She's healthy, you know? And it's just like, you did this to your daughter. Like,
you fucking did this. This is your fault, Robert.
Yeah.
You did this.
It's a horrible scene. It really is. And,
You know what? You and Philip did this. I'm gonna throw Philip into this.
Just definitely, they're telling everybody downstairs. And Anna's crying, and Thomas starts crying too because he said he already liked Sybil so much. And
oh yeah, by the way, it's upsetting. Can we quickly talk about that? We had played it, but then never talked about it. So Thomas said that they worked together in the hospital, which is true. It's the true statement, but did we ever actually see scenes of them, like, getting to know each other in the hospital?
No.
Like,
absolutely not.
The show just fabricated this relationship just for this episode.
There was that, there was that guy, remember there was the soldier, like, there was that whole plot line of that episode with the soldier who, lost his eyesight
or something,
or whatever.
Oh,
no, you remember he was like, he lost his eyesight, and then he was like, well, I can't go on, and then he killed himself. Remember that? And that was kind of Thomas and Sybil's, like, project. They were like, please let him stay here. We really like him. Remember? So that was something that they did together. And then, you know, they were talking with Dr. Clarkson about that and everything.
I guess so, but still. Not enough to warrant them being, like, besties, which is how Thomas made it sound.
Well, I mean, of course he's going to be like, well, I'm close to the lady of the house. You know, like...
Yeah.
He's going to make himself sound good. So, but yeah.
True.
Everybody is very sad, and obviously this is a very sad situation. Carson is very upset because this is somebody who he's watched grow up, and it's really sad. Thomas kind of like goes in the hallway and starts crying, and Anna follows him and it's just like, are you okay? And he's like, if I died, no one would even care. And she's like, you know, that's not true. And he's like, no, I know, but it's just, you know, I think it's when somebody dies that's so young and obviously somebody who you've interacted with, it's gonna be really painful. And so
yeah,
I think the actor does a really good job here. He really, you know, shows his vulnerability, which I like when Thomas does that, because we're just like, we never see him like this unless he's being scummy, and this is not that kind of situation. So you know,
true.
Yeah, very, it's like, true. She was one of the only people who actually liked me. It's like, oh yeah, sorry buddy.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah. You know, and then Mrs. Hughes says, the sweetest spirit under this roof is gone, and I'm weeping myself. And then, oh.
Yeah, that's probably true, out of Sybil, all the girls, Mrs. Yeah. Hughes probably liked Sybil the best.
Yeah, she was the nicest one.
Truly, truly though. Yeah. Carson looks not okay.
Yeah, he's not all right. He's just sad.
He basically lost one of his daughters. Like,
yeah.
It's, and that's a lot.
I'm glad we have this like leftover time in this episode. Like, she dies and we've still got like 10 more minutes of this episode. So it's like, we got a lot of mourning period. And in this scene with Cora, she's basically saying goodbye to her, sitting by her side, just like, I'm going to take care of you, you know, your husband and your baby. And Mary comes in and she's like, you know, we got to go to sleep. And she's like, no, I just want to keep talking to my daughter a little bit more, say goodbye to her. I think they like definitely gave the actress, which is Elizabeth McGovern, they were like, okay, you deserve a nice scene to say goodbye to your daughter. We're going to give you this good acting scene, you know?
Yeah.
And she hasn't gotten too many of those like by herself. And she requests that Mary asks Robert to sleep in a different room tonight, because she's because
she doesn't want to see his mug tonight, and with good reason.
I think this end part of this episode is good, because the whole mourning thing and people being so shocked with Cora, like just shocked with Sybil dying, and just like the pain that that they must feel, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's good. It's well done. We have a shot of the car coming up. Yes, Mr. Murray. Lawyer, and he's like, I should have known something was wrong when no one came and picked me up.
He's, I know. Like, I'm so sorry. No car came and picked him up from the station. He's like, oh well. Okay.
Okay.
Just get a cab there, I guess, or I'll just get a car there.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you know,
so Matthew's just filling him in.
Yeah, after Anna talks to him, he's like, can we discuss something about the estate since you're here?
Yeah, he's like, probably not the best time to talk about this, but since you're here and I don't know when you'll be here next, we should just get it over with, probably. But sure. Anna comes in and... Now, I don't know if they talk immediately or if another scene happens.
Yeah, they do, and she doesn't, you know, obviously we know what she's going to say, so it's good that they don't, like, rehash that.
Yeah.
Then we've got Branson looking over. Sybil and the two sisters are there, and he's like, they're going to take her away. The mortuary's going to take her away.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm not ready to say goodbye to her yet. And so he gets up and stands in the other room, and then the sisters say their goodbyes to her, like, you know, you're the sweetest of all of us, and give her kisses and everything. And Edith's like, maybe we should get along more now. And Mary's like, I don't think that that's gonna happen, but maybe right now.
Yeah, she's like, will we be nicer to each other now? And Mary's like, no,
I doubt it. But this last time, all three of us will be together, and it is interesting because, yeah, they're not like this. They're not that close. Like, I don't think any of them are really kind of. We didn't get a lot of like They help each other with the whole Branson situation, which was good, but it just feels like they really weren't extremely close at all. Like, they just have such different personalities, so that's probably it.
They really do.
Yeah, so Anna is just telling Mr. Murray about the fact that she thinks that they really should get this woman's statement before she realizes that they're going to use it to free Mr. Bates.
What she told Anna could free Mr. Bates. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And then it's time for Branson to say goodbye to Sybil.
And, this was so sad. Branson's face was just heartbreaking. He's a good actor.
Like, it's so sad.
He did such a great job. I actually, because of Branson, I actually felt bad that Sybil had passed.
Of course. Yeah. Because we didn't really know Sybil. Like, I feel like she really just didn't have... she didn't really have a lot of storylines. The only one she had is Branson. But it's just like... They didn't really give her much. And I liked that she was a nurse. And I liked that she was doing all these things. And it just... I don't know. I think they killed her off way too soon. I think they should have just kept her around for longer. But,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
Was there, like, scheduling conflicts with her? Like, that she had to, like... That they had to kill her off? Because she became super non-existent in the show after, like, she ran off with Branson.
Yeah, I don't think that that's even the case. I think they just wanted to kill her off. I just think that they wanted to make it worse for Branson.
Kind of seemed out of nowhere. So I thought it was, like, it just seemed very sudden. Like,
yeah.
To kill off such a... I mean, to me, Sybil felt like a main character. But yeah.
Yeah. But to me, like, she was honestly more of a side character because she wasn't in it that much.
True.
Like, a lot of her storylines weren't... There weren't just a lot of them. You know, it's not like... Yeah. It's not like Mary. She has, like, the main amount of storylines, so...
Yeah. So Anna had left, and so Matthew was talking to Murray about some stuff, and Mary walks in and says, like,
they're
talking
about the estate thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's getting
and
very...
Like, this is not the time to talk about this. You should go. If you've spoken with Anna, you've done what you came here to do, so you should leave now. And...
Yeah.
She gets pretty pissed at Matthew.
I mean, I get it. She should... You know, if... Like, it definitely is... Matthew shouldn't... Like, it should have made sure she wasn't going to walk into the room, because it's... Like, he did want to discuss
this with Murray.
Yeah,
go speak somewhere where no one's going to walk in, but you know that's not going to happen... With anything in this show, someone has to walk in.
And, like, I understand why he wanted to talk to him, too. It's like, it is a strange time.
He's been worrying about this, about the mismanagement, and he wants to get it settled.
Yeah. Because he also didn't want to, like, call upon Murray on his own time, because then Robert would have suspected something. So it's just like, this was the
time. Probably the best thing for him to do would have been to schedule to go travel out to see Murray and then have a meeting with him then.
Yeah.
So that he can
in the future
be alone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or be like, Murray, come again or whatever. But
yeah.
So then Murray goes and talks to Mr. Bates basically about
in jail. Yeah.
It's kind of like, why did we even need this scene? Like, I just don't... It's useless. It's like, we knew that Murray was going to go to see Mr. Bates. Like, why do we need to even show it?
Probably because we needed to know that they were overhearing. Because, like, they overheard everything. They're
these
like...
These bad two.
Oh, that's his lawyer.
Odd couple.
And they talk about Bartlett. Like, they now know that they're looking for Bartlett and that she has info to free him or something. Like, they know. And they're probably going to do something to sabotage it.
Definitely, because they just hate Mr. Bates for some reason. It's just like, what? God. Then we have an amazing scene.
Everyone's in their morning attire. What, morning? Funeral attire, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Violet's coming in, and she's speaking to Carson. They're both very sad.
Another
this is really sad.
Epic
she, like,
performance
kind of,
by...
Yeah. She kind of, like...
Maggie.
She kind of breaks down a little bit and, like, has to lean against the wall. She's so good.
Oh,
she's
God,
so good.
Fucking love Maggie. God.
She's so great.
She just keeps going.
Oh, man.
She carries on. You know?
She just carries on.
Ugh. Love her so much. I think I should play this scene here. Okay. It's when she walks in.
Ideas.
You'll be glad to know they've found a nurse for the baby. She's already here.
Good. Where's Tom?
He's upstairs. I've asked if he wants anything. He says no. He wants his wife back, but that's what he can't have. I must write to Dr. Clarkson and have it sent down before dinner.
Darling, there's no need for that.
I should. I want to. I have to apologize for our behavior.
What? Why?
Because if we'd listened to him, Sybil might still be alive. But Sir Philip and your father knew better, and now she's dead.
She's so right, though.
I missed that part.
Why did you say that?
Because there is some truth in it.
You missed it?
Yeah, my dear, when tragedies strike, we try to find someone to blame. And in the absence of a suitable candidate, we usually blame ourselves. You are not to blame. No one is
to blame.
You
are.
Our darling Sybil has died during childbirth, like too many women before her. And all we can do now is cherish her memory and her child.
Nevertheless, there is truth in it.
See, he did admit it.
Yeah.
You know. So.
I thought she said... Okay, so I think I heard her wrong. I thought she said
that... And then we get this...
We did listen to Dr. Clarkson, and now Sybil is dead. Like...
Yeah.
I didn't know she specifically said Robert and Dr. Philip. Which
yeah.
is... Great. I'm glad she said that.
Yeah, she did. And we get this shot of Branson holding his baby at the window. At dawn.
Crying!
Yeah,
so
crying.
Sad!
Oh my god, it's so sad!
Oh my god, so sad!
I know. Now we have a baby at Downton.
Now we got a baby. You know what? One life ends, another life begins.
That's
I guess...
Yeah. At least the baby didn't die, too, I guess.
Yeah, at least. I mean, Thomas would have rather had it not be like that, but, you know, that's...
You mean Branson?
What'd I say?
Tom Branson, yeah.
Thomas Branson?
Yeah.
Tom Branson?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, Sybil.
Do you think
gone.
His name is Tomothy? Do you think it's Tomothy Branson?
Ooh, I like that. I think so. I think his name's Tomothy. Yeah. I like that.
Okay.
Sybil's gone. Like she will be missed. We love
like
Sybil greatly.
Yeah, I liked her. It's very sad. This is a very major plot point. Of course, somebody dies, it's a major plot point. So.
Yeah, I had a lot of people telling me that something crazy happens in season 3, and I did not know it was going to be the next episode we saw. Like,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be like the season finale or something. How many more episodes do we have of the season? Two?
Three?
Are there six? Are there seven? Eight?
Oh, God, Emily, you have no idea. You're just like, just whatever. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. You're just like, how many?
Does something else happen in season three?
Eight? There's nine.
Ten?
Nine episodes. Nine.
Is there another Christmas episode at the end of the season or no?
I don't know. I don't see it here, so maybe it'll be at the beginning of the next season.
Okay.
That's a possibility. Because
there wasn't a Christmas episode at the end of season 1, but there was at the end of season 2.
There's yeah.
a Christmas episode? So maybe it'll be at the end of season 4? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But there's 9 episodes, so we still have, 4 more to go or whatever, right?
This was 5? 6, 7, 8, four more. Wow. Okay.
We've been going slowly on these ones. We've been really busy in the summer.
We hope to get back into the swing of things. So going strong. We will continue season 3. But wow, I was not expecting this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wasn't that sad that Sybil died.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, I hope I hope I get attached enough to one character to where if they happen to die, I'd shed a tear. But I don't think that's going to happen.
It's not that way right now, is it?
At this point, I'm like, I really don't care about any of these characters, so I probably wouldn't care if any of them died. But either way, Sybil was one of the good ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For sure.
So I'll give this episode 4 burnt kidney souffles out of 10.
Oh, shit. 4?
Yeah.
4? Okay. I will give this one 5 poisoned pastry crusts. poison pastry dough. Yes. 5 out of 10. That's what I'll give this one. I didn't hate this episode, but I didn't love this episode. So I'll just put it right in the middle.
Yeah.
But that is Downton Abbey season 3 episode 5. Mm-hmm. We are excited to see what the future holds. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. You can rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Can they also review it on Amazon Music? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Okay, but you can listen to us on there because we're now on there.
Yeah.
We're still on Spotify. And if you need notifications on future episodes that we release, please follow our social media. We have Twitter at By the Popcorn, Instagram at All By the Popcorn Podcast, and Facebook. Just search All By the Popcorn Podcast and like our page. We are also now on TikTok. We have been posting a bunch of our Disneyland TikToks that we filmed at Disneyland. They're all very fun, so definitely go to TikTok and check us out. Just search All By the Popcorn Podcast on TikTok, and just look for our little logo. And we're also on YouTube. We have been filming some of our episodes. I don't think we've filmed a Downton yet.
Just one. Well, we haven't filmed a full Downton. Oh, maybe we did. Just one. No,
maybe.
Actually we haven't. Because I just want to make sure that we can even post that. So, yeah, that's a little bit different. Because we watch it when we do it. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Might not be able to post. Okay, well, we're still figuring out Downton, but some of our other ones we have been filming and posting on YouTube, so just search All By the Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to that. And we have merch, so please check that out. But thank you everyone for listening. We'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.